Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I'm joined via Skype by Kara Morin, Chief Marketing Officer for Rareform. Rareform is a really unique and repurposeful company that are taking like all the roadside billboards that, you know, we all know and love and are turning them into really versatile, fashionable, and sustainable accessories. So, Kara, thank you so much for hopping on with me.
Yeah, of course, Amy. Thank you for having me.
So let's, you know, rewind a little bit. I kind of gave an intro, but obviously want you to walk me through the Rareform story. You know, how did this idea turn from billboard vinyl into a brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the company was founded in 2013 by brothers Alec and Eric Avedisian. And Alec, the older brother, was actually living in El Salvador a couple years after college and saw that billboards were being used for a variety of purposes, for roofing, for lining baskets, different things like that. And that's really the first time it dawned on him that billboards were made from vinyl, first of all, and that they could be used for other purposes, that they're durable, that they're waterproof, all of those things, and that there's a lot of billboard waste in the world. So that's where the idea came from. They're both avid surfers, so they thought it would make actually a great material for a surfboard bag. So when he was done living in El Salvador, he came back home to Southern California and made the first prototype, which was a surfboard bag. And it was actually made by a car upholstery manufacturer.
And how did you get involved? Have you always had a passion for environmental sustainability?
Yeah, I think it's been of interest of mine since college. We actually all went to the same pretty small college at different times, some overlap there, but I met Eric, the younger brother, through school and then started working here as soon as I was done.
Where did the name Rareform come from? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so we knew that each of our products would be one of a kind. So that's kind of where the word rare came from. And then they knew that it would be taking on a new form because it'd be a billboard, now a bag. And so they really liked those two words and want to incorporate that somehow into either a name or slogan or something. And then just trying to figure out different things, they put the two together and like, hey, Rareform itself sounds pretty cool. So just stuck from there.
I love the name. And I have a white bottom Cora tote.
Okay, yeah, great.
And I bring it to work and I put my laptop in it and like my snacks and my water bottle. And I was, you know, I'm thinking back, I was probably reaching to get a snack. And a girl on our team was like, I love your bag. And then that's how the whole process of like me reaching out to you and getting you to come on, obviously, because you can definitely do a better job telling the story than I can. And I actually ended up buying her, well, I hope this episode drops before her birthday, but if not, I ended up buying her bag. But you know, when browsing the website, there are just so many options and styles and colors and price points. So what is the design and creative process like for, you know, like a boutique brand, but has such a large line of products?
Yeah. So like I said, we started in surf. So we first did surfboard bags and then some surf accessories, a few of which we still do, like change mats. However, that's a pretty niche market and one that is not necessarily growing as fast as like bags and accessories are growing and, you know, just only reaches a small demographic. We are on the West Coast, right on the water. And so it might seem very popular in our little market, but across the world, you know, there's not as many surfers as there are people carrying wallets or backpacks. And so we slowly started to expand from there. Initially, some of our more popular products, some of which we're still carrying, were the Weekender Duffel, which is our largest duffel. We still carry our original bifold wallet, which we also still carry. The Cora Tote, the one that you have, has actually been around for several years now. And just as our audience has grown and evolved, we've added more products. So since we started in surf, our demographic initially was mostly men on the younger side. So that's why bifold wallet was really popular, duffel bag. But then we were on Shark Tank just over 2 years ago, and we really, our female audience really increased from then. And our Blake tote bag, which is a kind of grocery tote, beach tote size bag, became our number one selling product and has remained in that place since then. And so we started coming out with a lot more women's products after that. So now we have 4 tote bags, a handful of women's wallets, wristlets, pouches, things like that.
iPhone covers too are really cool. So
yeah,
let's talk about the upcycling of it all. I mean, how do you guys get all the vinyl? Do you work with different, you know, people to source it? How many items can be made from like a single billboard?
Yeah, so we have contracts with the 3 largest outdoor advertisers in America. And so each of those has a few dozen at least plants all across the US. And so we actually source our billboards from all over the country. And we also work with a handful of smaller independent outdoor advertisers as well. And so we get at least 50,000 pounds of billboard vinyl into our warehouse facilities every month. And that is where we make our bags from. And so a typical billboard is actually 14 feet by 48 feet. Those are the ones that you would see on the side of the freeway most commonly. However, they range in size from 6 feet by 9 feet to 30 feet by 100 feet. So from an average 14 by 48 billboard, we can get about 100 backpacks, 1,000 wallets, or about 8 or 10 surfboard bags.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, and you touched on it, so you technically brought it up first. I am a Shark Tank super fan.
Awesome.
I've never missed an episode. I've bought way too many products. I had a little talk with myself before we recorded and was like, don't freak out and don't make this entire episode about the tank, but I'm going to. And I have to ask, you know, what was that experience like for everybody on the team? How did you guys get on? What was it like afterwards? Was Mr. Wonderful as he is on? I mean, I have a million questions, but let's
just go there. Yeah. So we applied to be on Shark Tank they had an open casting call in January of 2016. And it wasn't something that we ever really thought about, at least for me personally. I thought Shark Tank, and I'm not an avid fan, at least I wasn't prior to us going on it, was for people who had more of an idea or a concept and less of an established brand. So I kind of thought, oh, we're really past the Shark Tank phase. Like, they wouldn't be interested. But another woman who worked in our office was like, no, you guys should at least, you know, just go. Both my bosses, the brothers, are, you know, very good on TV, charming. They make a good presence. And so they flew up to, we actually got some free airline tickets from our friends who were starting a boutique surf airline. And so they flew up to San Francisco, which is where the open casting call was, and weren't necessarily expecting to hear back, but then we did hear back. And it's a pretty long process. So after several rounds of, you know, interviewing and paperwork, you know, trying to audit, making sure that what we said in our pitch was accurate, we were asked to come in for filming. So our first audition was June of 2016. We were called in for filming. And how it works is they film pretty much the entire season within a couple weeks in the summer. So if the companies are not based, they film in LA. So we're in the LA area. So they fly in everybody. And so we went to the casting on, I think, a Tuesday or Wednesday, and every day Alec and Eric were told, you know, we're not going to get to you guys today. Come back the next day. Come back the next day, because they could afford that, because, you know, they hadn't paid to fly us out or put us in a hotel. So they're really prioritizing more out of state companies. And so it was the last day of the week, Friday, and their sister was actually getting married that day. And so they kind of made a pact, like, okay, if we don't get called by noon or something, we have to leave. It's our sister's wedding. And so they did get called right at the last moment to film. And so what you see on TV is, you know, usually like an 8 to 12 minute pitch. However, the pitch itself is well over an hour, and there's so much more back and forth than what's seen on TV. And so, yeah, once they're done filming the whole season in the summer, they will call you 3 weeks before you are going to air. So we had no idea. We could have aired in September. We could have aired in May. We had no clue. And so during that time, we were going through due diligence on, you know, getting our loan signed. We are partnered with Kevin O'Leary. He was the shark that invested in our company. And yeah, we got the call mid-February to air March 3rd, 2017. So in total, it's about a 15-month process from our first audition to our filming. And yeah, it was crazy. Ups and downs, exciting, but definitely well worth it in the end.
And you guys have seen an awesome response since the airing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's companies that will do $1 million in the night that they go on Shark Tank. And so we did about the same amount of sales in our online website in the week or so after Shark Tank than we did in the entire year prior. So it's definitely a huge bump for us. We do have a large like wholesale business and corporate business. So it's not like our online store is our only sales, but yeah. And then that has really retained, you know, people still to this day say that they first discovered us on Shark Tank. And so, yeah, it was very worth the process.
So switching gears for a little bit, I mean, you know, you are the chief marketing officer of a brand, like you said, targeted towards millennials. So I wanted to pick your brain about a couple things marketing related.
Yeah. And I will clarify that our actual demographic, our purchasing demographic is a little older than millennials. So it's usually, although we definitely have millennials purchasing from us, it's actually usually more people in their 30s to 50s.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Which surprises me too, to this day.
I mean, I think that, well, A, technically, I guess millennial is more of a non-encompassing word. But, you know, one of the questions that I've just been thinking about was, you know, influencer marketing and a social presence. And I think that like your Instagram is certainly targeted towards a younger demo for sure.
Yes.
And I know that you guys have partnered with celebrities like Jack Johnson and a bunch of pro surfers and my personal favorite, Jason Mraz. But how do you think influencer marketing has played a part in y'all's success?
Yeah. So when we've worked with both Jack Johnson and Jason Mraz, it actually hasn't been on an influencer level, but they've actually come to us saying like, hey, we have all these vinyls from either stage backdrops or advertisements for their tours. And so they've come to us and said, hey, we'd love to turn this into product that we could sell as merch on our tour. And so we're actually doing another, we've done it with Jack Johnson a couple times and we're doing it again right now. And so we've turned their stage banners or billboards into product, which they then sell both on their online merch side, but also on their tours.
And I know that, you know, in the same vein, not like in a business buyout or like a partnering deal like that, but in the same vein, when I was searching on the website, I saw that you guys have a rare form rep program.
Yes, we do.
Like, you know, fill out a form and evangelize the brand, even if they may not be like Kardashian Insta famous or like
totally blog.
So why did you guys start the rare form rep program? Has it been successful?
Yeah. So to be a rare form rep, you just have to have an Instagram account and that's pretty much it. So it could be anyone from me with, you know, 400 followers to somebody with 1 million. But so how it works is you'll get a unique discount code and then you can share that with your friends and followers. And for any sales that convert using your discount code, you'll get a percent commission, so cash back to you. And we started that because we've noticed, and this is kind of similar to the story you shared at the beginning of, you know, your coworker seeing your Cora tote bag, is it can take a while for people to really understand the concept of rare form, what a billboard is, that it's made from vinyl, that each one's one of a kind, that these are in landfills, otherwise. But once people really get that, they become pretty big brand enthusiasts and they get really excited about rare form and they really want to share it with all their friends. And we have so many people that once they buy once, then they buy 20 times. And at Christmas that year, everybody in their family has new rare form gear, which is so exciting. And so we figured that there would be a way to monetize on these brand evangelists that we have naturally. And so, yeah, we definitely have a lot of people. Many of them in the Rare Form Rep program are pretty much just your everyday people. Some of them are maybe really involved on their college campuses or have some sort of influence, even if it might not be in the tens of thousands, but are influencers in their own local communities. And yeah, so I think people really enjoy that, enjoy sharing it with their friends, enjoy, you know, being able to make money on sharing something that they love and would have shared anyway.
And something that's, you know, helping the planet as well. Okay, so before I let you go, enjoy your summer Friday. I did want to play our rapid fire game with you.
Okay.
10 questions, real quick. First thing that comes to your head. Cool?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Number one, what was the first job you ever had?
Lifeguard.
Number two, who is the last person that you texted?
Can I look?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can remember. This one's actually kind of good. It was our graphic designer. She sent me at 1 a.m. Why was she awake? I don't know. She's younger than me, but she sent me an advertisement actually of ours on Instagram. I think she thought there was an error or something in the thing. So she wanted to get it to me quick, which was good. Good of her. So I responded at 6 a.m. because I'm never awake at 1 a.m.
Me neither. I mean, you guys are in California, right?
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm.
So it's 8 where you are right now. Good for you for being up doing a podcast at 8 a.m. on a Friday.
Well, yeah, it's really just to beat the traffic. I get in pretty early solely for that reason. So I've been converted to a morning person.
Okay, number 3, beach or mountains?
Mountains.
What was the last movie that you saw in theaters?
Oh, I am not a moviegoer. The last one I can remember seeing was Moana, and I think it was probably 2 years ago.
What artist are you listening to a lot of right now?
I've never been into country music, and diehard country fans would probably say this is not a true country person, but Sam Hunt. I'm so obsessed with him.
What is your favorite brand of candy? Like, what kind of candy are you?
Not sour or anything like that. It would be like anything chocolate peanut butter, particularly Trader Joe's dark chocolate peanut butter cups. We eat them in the office like they're going out of style.
What's your favorite go-to rare form product?
The one I always have with me is the Madison wristlet, but my iPhone XS case.
Where's your favorite place to go on vacation?
Mexico.
What is one thing that you do outside of the office or even inside the office, but what's one thing that you do in your everyday life to live more sustainably?
That's a great question. I try to use like beauty products that are sustainable. That's something that's really important to me. So ones that don't have chemicals that go into the ocean, you know, more natural ingredients, that something for my own personal health, but also for the environment is something I've been passionate about well before I was at Rareform.
Do you have any clean beauty recommendations for the listeners? It's something that we've talked about a lot.
I just got into Beauty Counter, which I like so far. Burt's Bees has been like a great, I think they were one of the first people that started to say before this got really trendy. They've been around forever. I have in my desk right now, I have Burt's Bees hand lotion that's 99.9% natural. So that seems pretty good to me.
Works for me. And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Oh, that is not a rapid fire. That's a hard one. I think right now success is seeing something I've done at Rareform make a difference in the brand in general. So, and that's like such a benefit of being a part of a somewhat smaller company is, you know, a suggestion I make today could be live on the site by the end of the day. And I could see, you know, a revenue turnaround in the next couple days. So I think that is really exciting to me. And that is a really satisfying type of success.
Absolutely. So you guys can find their full line of products, shop online, and learn how to be a Rareform rep at rareform.com. Also, shameless plug, follow them on Instagram at Rareform, because they do a lot of you guys do a lot of really cool giveaways and product launches. And, you know, not that I'm trying to play favorites here, but I am hoping that this gives me a leg up on the travel gear giveaway.
Shoot, you know, I wish it would, but that auto generator just... It doesn't favor anybody I know, unfortunately.
And to my coworker, Ashby, if you're listening, surprise, I bought you a birthday present. You get a Rareform note. But in all seriousness, you guys are crushing it. So excited for what's to come. You know, I've been a big brand fan for a while, and I think a lot of our listeners will be too. So Kara, thank you again so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course, Amy. Thank you so much for having me.